Betters by W. Somerset Maugham, with Kathleen Turner as Pearl, Lady Greyston.
My dear Bessie, I found an entirely strange young man on the doorstep who says he is a cousin.
Fleming!
I introduced myself to Lady Greyston, but please reassure your sister, Bessie. She looks upon me with suspicion.
You must remember Fleming Harvey, Pearl.
I've never set eyes on him in my life, but he looks quite nice.
He is.
Apparently he's here to see you.
Well, I rang up 5 minutes ago and Bessie ordered me to come around right away.
Now make him stop the tea. I've got the telephone. I've suddenly remembered I've asked 12 people to dinner.
Does George know?
Who is George?
Don't be absurd, Pearl. George, your husband.
Oh, I couldn't make out who you meant. No, he doesn't know. But what's more important is the cook doesn't know either. Yes, you know, I'd forgotten George was in London.
George generally dines out when Pearl has a dinner party because he doesn't like people he doesn't know. And he seldom dines at home when we're alone because it bores him.
Doesn't sound as if Sir George enjoys many of the benefits of home life.
Now, let's sit down and make ourselves comfortable. When did you land?
This morning. See, I've lost no time in coming to see you.
I should think not. It is good to see someone straight from home.
Are you having a good time, Bessie?
Wonderful. Since the beginning of the season, except when Pearl has had people here, I've been out to lunch and dinner every day, and I've been to a ball every night, generally two and sometimes three.
Gee.
If I stop now, I drop down dead. Fleming, I want to thank you for that charming letter you wrote me.
There's no occasion to do that, Bessie.
I was afraid you might feel badly about it. But we'll always be the greatest friends, won't we?
Always.
After all, you were 18 when you asked me to marry you, and I was 16. It wasn't a very serious engagement. I don't know why we didn't break it off before.
Well, I suppose it never occurred to us.
I'd almost forgotten it. But when I came over here, I thought I'd better make everything quite clear.
Bessie, I believe you're in love.
No, I'm not. I tell you, I'm having a wonderful time.
Well, who sent you these roses?
I don't know. Lord Blean?
You're not going to marry a lord, Bessie.
Have you any objection?
Well, on first principles, I think American girls had better marry American men. But then I happen to be an American man.
The poor dear is trying to propose to me every time he sees me, and I'm doing all I can to prevent him.
Why?
I don't want to refuse him and then wish I hadn't.
Well, I'm reassured about one thing. You're not in the least in love with him.
I told you I wasn't. You don't mind my saying all this to you, Fleming?
Has it occurred to you that he wants to marry you for your money?
You can put it more prettily. You can say he wants to marry me with my money.
And is that a prospect that allures you?
Poor dear, what else can he do? He's got a large place to keep up and he simply hasn't a cent.
Oh, really, Bessie, you amaze me.
I shan't when you've been here a month.
Now, Bessie, tell me all about this strange young man.
He's quite capable of telling you about himself.
How long are you staying?
A couple of months. I want to see something of English life.
And you want to improve your mind, or do you want to go into society?
I suppose I couldn't combine the two.
Are you rich?
Not at all.
Doesn't matter. You're good looking. If you want to be a success in London, you need looks, wit, or a bank balance. You know Arthur Fenwick?
Only by reputation.
Well, how superciliously you say that.
Well, he provides bad food to the working classes at an exorbitant price. I have no doubt he makes a lot of money.
He's a great friend of Pearl's.
When I first met him, I said, my dear Mr. Fenwick, you're not good-looking, you're not well-bred, you're not amusing, you're only rich. If you want to make it in society, you must spend money.
It was evidently in the nature of a straight talk.
We must do what we can for Fleming, Pearl.
We'll introduce him to Minnie Suren.
Who in the world is she?
The Duchesse de Suren. Don't you remember? She was a Miss Hodgson, Chicago people. Of course, they're nobody in America, but that doesn't matter over here. She adores good-looking boys, and I dare say she's rather tired of Tony by now. You'll meet her here this afternoon.
I don't like Tony.
Don't you? I think he's charming. He's the most unprincipled ruffian I've ever met.
Is Tony the Duke?
What Duke? Oh, you mean her husband? No. She divorced him years ago.
I think Fleming would like the princess much better.
Well, he'll meet her here today, too.
She was a Miss Van Hoog, Fleming.
Is she divorced, too?
Oh, no. She married an Italian. It's very difficult to get a divorce in Italy. She's merely separated. She's quite nice. She's one of my greatest friends. She bores me a little.
Mr. Thornton Clay. How do you do?
Ah, Thornton, the very person we want. This strange young man has shown up on my doorstep and claims he is a cousin.
My dear Pearl, this is a calamity which we Americans must always be prepared for.
I won't have you say such things, Mr. Clay. Fleming is not only our cousin, he's also my oldest friend. Aren't you, Fleming?
Fleming wants to see something of life in London. I tell him he couldn't do better than to put himself under your wing.
Well, I know everyone who's worth knowing. I can't deny that. But, of course, there's really nothing I can do for you. At Lady Greyston's, you are in the very hub of society.
In this house, sooner or later, you'll meet every remarkable man in England, except one, and that is George Greyston. And he's only remarkable because he's her husband.
I might have known you'd say a pleasant thing only in order to make the next more disagreeable.
Of course, I can't work out why you never invite George to any of your parties. Personally, I like him.
Well, that's all the nicer of you, Thornton, since he always refers to you as that damned snob.
Poor George. He has such a limited vocabulary.
The Duchess de Surrey.
Oh, my dear. How nice of you to come.
Isn't Tony here?
No.
He said he was coming straight here.
Well, I dare say he was delayed.
I don't understand it. He rang a quarter of an hour ago saying he was starting at once.
He'll be here presently.
Bessie, my dear, how pretty you're looking. No wonder all the men I meet rave about you.
Englishmen are so shy. Why don't they rave to me?
They'll never let you go back to America.
No, of course she's never going back. I am determined she shall marry an Englishman.
She'll make a charming addition to our American peeresses.
I wish you wouldn't talk as if I hadn't a word to say in the matter.
Of course you've got a word to say, Bessie. A very important one.
Yes, I suppose.
Exactly. Pour out the tea, darling, will you?
Surely. I know you don't share Fleming's contempt for tea, Mr. Clay.
I couldn't live a day without it. Why, I never travel without a tea basket.
Oh, is that so?
You Americans who live in America...
So queer of us.
...despise our delectable habit of drinking tea because you are still partly barbarous. The hour we spend over it is the most delightful of the day. We drink tea because we are a highly civilized nation.
Well, I must be very stupid, but I don't follow.
My dear fellow, the degree of a nation's civilization is marked by its disregard for the necessities of existence. You have gone so far as to waste money. But we have gone farther. We waste what is infinitely more precious, more transitory, more irreparable. We waste time.
Anyone who wants tea must come and fetch it.
Oh, well, when in Rome. Excuse me.
Who is that nice-looking young man, Pearl?
A young American. He pretends to be my cousin. He's here to see Bessie.
Does he want to marry her?
Oh, good heavens, no, I hope not. No, he's merely an old friend. You know what funny ways they have in America.
I suppose nothing is settled yet about Harry Bleem.
No, but I shouldn't be surprised if you were to read an announcement in the Morning Post one day.
Has she enough money for him?
She has a million.
Not pounds.
Oh, no, my dear, dollars.
But that's only 8,000 a year. I shouldn't imagine he'd be satisfied with that.
My dear, people can't expect so much nowadays. There won't be any more enormous heiresses as there were in your time.
Of course she'll accept him.
Oh, yes. She's crazy to live in England. And as I tell her, it's quite pleasant to be a peeress even now.
Oh, what on earth could have happened to Tony?
My dear, it's hardly likely he was run over by a motorbus.
I'm not worried about motorbuses running over him. I'm worried about him running off to Gaiety Girls.
I should have thought you kept a very sharp eye on him.
Well, the thing is, he doesn't have anything to do with himself from morning till night.
Why doesn't he get a job?
I've been trying to find him something, but it's so difficult. Pearl, darling, you have so much influence. Couldn't you find him something? I should be so grateful.
What can he do?
Oh, anything. And as you know, he's very good-looking.
Can he speak French and German?
No, he has no gift for languages.
Well, can he type or take shorthand?
Oh, no. Well, poor dear, you can hardly expect that.
Can he do accounts?
No, he has no head for figures.
Well, the only thing I can see he'd do for is government office.
My dear, if you could only manage that. I can't tell you what a comfort it would be for me to know that he can't get up to mischief at least from 10 till 4 every day.
Mr. Anthony Paxton.
Ah, Tony. How is life?
Rotten. I haven't backed a winner or won a rubber this week.
Well, that's the advantage of not having any money. You can afford to lose it.
Where have you been, Tony?
I? Nowhere.
You said you were coming straight here. It doesn't take 25 minutes to get here from Dover Street.
I thought there wasn't any hurry. I was just hanging about the club.
I rang the club again and they said you'd gone.
Well, I was downstairs having a shave and I suppose they never thought to look for me in the barber's shop.
What on earth did you want to have a shave for at 4:30 in the afternoon?
I thought you'd like to have me looking nice and clean.
Mm.
Go and get Bessie to give you a cup of tea, Tony. I'm sure you need it after the strenuous day you've had.
Thank you.
Oh, Minnie, how can you be so silly? You can't expect to keep a man if you treat him like that.
I know he's lying to me. There isn't a word of truth in anything he says. But he's so slim, I can never catch him out. Oh, I'm so jealous.
Are you really in love with him?
He's everything in the world to me.
Oh, my dear, you shouldn't allow yourself to be carried away like this.
I'm not as cold-blooded as you.
But you seem to have a passion for rotters, and they always treat you badly.
I don't care about the others. Tony is the only man I've ever really loved.
Oh, what nonsense. I can't imagine what you see in him. You must know.
There is very little I don't know. He's a liar, a gambler, an idler, a spendthrift. But in his way, he is fond of me. Well, you can see he's fond of me, can't you?
He's so much younger than you, Minnie.
Well, I can't help it. I love him.
Well, then I suppose there's no use talking. If he makes you happy...
He doesn't. He makes me miserable. But I love him. He wants me to marry him.
Oh, my dear, you're not going to.
No. If I married him, I'd have no hold over him at all.
Princess Della Chocola.
Darling.
Do you hate me for coming to bother you?
I ran up because I know how difficult you are to catch. How are you, Minnie?
Don't ask me for a subscription, Flora. I am so poor.
Lady Grayston, I'm going to say goodbye to you.
Oh, you mustn't go before I introduce you to Flora. Flora, this is Mr. Fleming Harvey. He's just come over from America. He's probably carrying a six-shooter in his hip pocket.
Princess?
When did you land?
This morning.
I envy you.
Because I landed this morning?
No, because a week ago you were in America.
Flora.
Oh, I was beginning to think it was something to be rather ashamed of.
Oh, you mustn't pay any attention to Pearl and the Duchess. You're a New Yorker, Mr. Harvey.
I'm proud of it, madam.
You must come and see me, and you shall tell me all the news of home.
How high the latest building is, and how much money the latest millionaire has got.
Goodbye.
I'm just going to go and find Tony.
Lord Bleed.
Ah, Harry, how nice of you to come.
I'm in absolute despair.
Good heavens, why?
They're sending a mission to Romania to hand the garter to some bigwig, and I've got to go with it.
But that sounds very interesting.
Yes, but we start tomorrow, and I shan't be able to come down to Kenton on Saturday.
When will you be back?
In 4 weeks.
Well, you must come down to Kent in the Saturday after you return.
May I?
Of course. Now go and break the news to Bessie. Poor thing, she was so looking forward to your visit.
Do you think she'll give me some tea?
I have no doubt of it, if you ask her very nicely.
Now I've got you to myself for 2 minutes. You will help me with my concert, won't you?
Of course. What do you want me to do? Oh, I'll make Arthur Fenwick take any number of tickets. He's quite charitable, you know.
It's for a very good cause.
I'm sure it is, but please, Flora, don't harrow me with revolting stories about starving children. I'm not interested in the poor.
How can you say that?
Are you? I've often wondered if your philanthropy wasn't some sort of elaborate pose. You don't mind my saying that, do you?
Not at all. You have no heart, and you can't imagine that anyone else should have.
I have plenty of heart. It simply beats for people of my own class.
I've only found one thing really worth doing with all this money I have, and that is to help a little those who need help.
Well, if it makes you happy.
It doesn't. But it prevents me from being utterly miserable.
Oh, really, Flora, sometimes you make me so impatient. You have more money than you know what to do with. You're a princess. You've practically got rid of your husband. I cannot imagine what more you want. I wish I could get rid of mine.
I don't know what you've got to complain of in George.
But that's just it. See, I wouldn't mind if he beat me or made love to chorus girls. Then I could divorce him. Oh, no, my dear. Thank your stars you had a husband who was grossly unfaithful to you. Mine wants me to live 9 months of the year in the country and have a baby every 5 minutes. I didn't marry an Englishman for that.
Why did you marry him?
I made a mistake. I was very ignorant. I lived all my life in New York. I thought if you were a baronet, you must be in society.
I often wonder if you're happy, Pearl.
Do you? Well, of course I'm happy.
An ambassador told me the other day that you were the most powerful woman in London. It's very wonderful how you made your way. You had nothing much to help you.
Shall I tell you how it's done? By force of character, wit, unscrupulousness, and push.
You're very frank.
That has always been my pose.
My dear, we really must be going. I expect my masseur at 6.
Now, you're coming to my ball?
Well, of course we're coming. Yours are about the only parties in London where one enjoys oneself as much as at a nightclub. Goodbye, dear. Are you coming, Tony?
Yes.
I've not had a word with you today.
What are we going to do about it?
I must get Minnie to go to my concert. Minnie?
You're looking perfectly divine today. I don't know what there is about you.
It's nice of you to say so.
I simply haven't been able to take my eyes off you.
Are you making love to me?
That's nothing new, is it?
Oh, you shameless creature. I can't imagine what it is Minnie sees in you.
Oh, I have all sorts of merits.
I'm very glad you should think so. I can only discover one.
What is it?
You're somebody else's property.
Oh.
Good day. Oh, that doesn't make you irresistible, you know.
There's always the future.
Ah, the future is everybody's property.
No.
Be quick and go. Minnie will be wondering why you don't come.
I've got my subscription.
Yes, I kept Tony here as long as I could to give you a chance.
That was really tactful.
Poor Minnie, she's mean as cats to meet. Oh, Harry, Bessie. Flora, shall we go down to the morning room and have a look at my visitor's book, see if there's someone there who might be of use to you?
Oh, that would be kind of you.
Right. Oh, now, don't go before I come back. I haven't had a word with you yet.
All right.
I wonder if you sent me these flowers, Lord Bleen.
I did. I thought you wouldn't mind.
It was very kind of you.
Do you know this is the first time I've ever been alone with you? It was very tactful of Lady Grayson to leave us.
I'm not sure if it wasn't a trifle too tactful.
Well, I was hoping most awfully to have the chance of getting a talk with you.
Lord Bleen, don't propose to me.
Why not?
Because I shall refuse you.
Oh.
Tell me all about the part of the country you live in. I don't know Kent at all. Is it pretty?
I don't know. It's home.
Pearl hates Abbots Kenton. She'd sell it if George would. She's only really happy in London.
I don't know that I was so particularly struck on Bleen till I was over in France in the war. When I was in hospital at Boulogne, there didn't seem much to do but to think about things. It didn't seem as if I could get well. Well, I knew I should if they'd only let me come home, but they wouldn't. They said I couldn't be moved. It's rather bleak in our part of the country. We've an east wind that people find a bit trying. But if you've been used to it all your life, it bucks you up wonderful. In summer, it can be awfully hot down there. But then there's always something fresh and salt in the air. You see, we're so near the marshes. You know, England was only just across the water. And yet it seems such an awful long way off. I ain't boring you, am I?
No.
Of course, I know it couldn't mean the same to a girl that it means to me. I shouldn't expect anyone to live there always. I can be quite happy in London.
You're determined to do it?
If you could bring yourself to marry me, I'd try and give you a good time.
Well, I suppose that's a proposal.
Well, I've never made one before, and it makes me a bit nervous.
You haven't said anything that I can answer yes or no to.
I don't want to say anything you can answer no to.
Let me say I'll think it over, may I?
I'm going away tomorrow.
I'll give you an answer when you get back.
That won't be for 4 weeks.
It'll give us both a chance to make up our minds. After all, it is rather a serious step. You may come to the conclusion that you don't really want to marry me.
There's no fear of that.
You're coming down to Kenton the weekend after you get back. If you change your mind, send Pearl a wire putting yourself off. I shall understand, and I shan't be in the least hurt or offended.
Then it's goodbye till then?
Yes. And thank you very much for wishing to marry me.
Thank you very much for not refusing me outright.
Mr. Arthur Fenwick, miss.
I'll find Pearl. Show him in.
This way, sir.
Thank you, Pearl.
You're very late.
I like to come when I stand a chance of finding you alone, girlie.
Oh, Arthur, please, don't call me girlie. You know how I hate it.
That's what I always think of you. When I'm present at one of your big set-outs, and I watch you like a queen amongst all those lords and ambassadors and bigwigs, I'll just think to myself, she's my girlie, and I feel warm all over. I'm so proud of you, then. You've got there, girlie, you've got there.
You've been very kind to me, Arthur.
My love for you is the most precious thing I have in the world. You're my guiding star. You're my ideal. You stand to me for all that is good and noble and clean in womanhood. Oh, God bless you, girlie. I don't know what I'd do if you failed me. I don't think I could live if I ever found out you're not what I think you.
You shan't. Not if I can help it.
You do care for me a little, girlie.
Of course I do.
I'm an old man.
Oh, what nonsense. I look upon you as a mere boy.
Oh, I dare say a good many young men would be glad of my physique. I could work 10 hours a day and feel as fresh as a daisy.
Yes, your vitality is wonderful. I always feel I can rely on you.
You couldn't have said anything to please me more. I want you to rely on me. I know you. I'm the only man who's understood you. I know that under that big, human, beating heart of yours, you're just a timid, sensitive little thing with the innocence of a child, and you need me to protect you from the world. Oh, my God, how I love you, girlie.
Oh, take care, the butler.
Oh, damn it, there's always the butler.
A telegram for you, little lady.
Ah, thank you, Paul. Oh, bother. No answer, Paul.
Very good, my lady. Mm.
Is anything the matter?
Yes, it's that fool Lord Sturry was supposed to dine here tonight. He just wired to say he can't come. Oh, I'd asked 10 people to meet him. I hate it when someone upsets my plans like
that. That's too bad.
This pompous owl. He's refused invitation after invitation. I asked him 6 weeks ago this time. He hadn't the face to say he was engaged.
I suppose you must have given him up. I dare say you can do without him.
Oh, don't be a fool, Arthur. I'll get hold of him somehow. He may be Prime Minister one of these days.
Mm.
Now, let's see. What is his number? Ah, yes, here it is. Gerard, 7035. If he comes once because I force him to, he'll come again because he likes it. This house is like the kingdom of heaven. I have to compel them to come in. Lord Sturry, please. Lady Grayson calling. Yes, I'll hold the line. Oh, is that you, Lord Sturry? Pearl Grayson? Yes, I just rang up to say it doesn't matter at all about this evening. Of course, I am disappointed. But you'll come another time, will you? Oh, that is nice of you to say. How about this day week? Oh, I see. Well, would Thursday suit you? Ah, yes. Well, how about Friday? My, you're engaged every evening next week. Why, you are in demand. I tell you what, you get your book and tell me what day you're free.
You're the best, girlie. You'll get there.
Shh. Oh, Tuesday fortnight. Oh, yes, that will suit me beautifully. 8:30. I'm so glad you chose that evening because I'm having Chrysler into play. Ah, yes. Oh, I do too. All right. Goodbye, then. I'll see you then. This time I've got him. That ape thinks he understands music.
Have you got Chrysler for Tuesday fortnight?
No.
Are you sure you can get him?
No, but I'm sure you can.
You shall have him.
Oh, you are a duck, Arthur. Shall I come and have lunch with you tomorrow?
Oh, yes.
Very well. But now you must go. I need to lie down before I dress for dinner.
That's right, girlie. You take care of yourself. You're very precious to me.
Goodbye, Arthur.
Goodbye, girlie. Ooh.
Lady Grayson speaking. Tony. Yes, of course I recognize your voice. No, what is it? I shall have to ask Bessie, see if she's free. No, of course I'm not coming alone. It would be most compromising. A good-looking young man like you, what would Minnie say? Oh, I know all about that. No, I didn't. I said the future is everybody's property. Sleepless night. Fancy that. Well, goodbye. Tony, do you know what the most enchanting word in the English language is? Perhaps.
You must be exhausted after all the tennis you played this afternoon, Minnie.
Not a bit. I only played 3 sets.
You played so vigorously, it made me quite hot to look at you.
If I didn't take exercise, I should be enormous.
You've been a long time.
Where's Tony?
He and Blean are finishing their cigars.
Arthur, did you have a cigar?
Absolutely not. You asked me not to.
Very good.
Well, Mr. Harvey, are you still enjoying life in London?
Well, he should be. I've got him invitations for all the nicest parties. But he will waste his time in sightseeing. Do you know, the other day, Thursday, wasn't it? I wanted to take him to Hurlingham, but he insisted on going to the National Gallery instead.
What outrageous proceedings.
I don't see that it was any more outrageous for me than for you. I saw you coming into the gallery just as I was going out.
Well, I had a reason to go. Arthur just bought a Bronzino, and I wanted to see those at the National Gallery.
Mm. I think it's far more likely you had an assignation. I've always heard that it's the perfect place for that. You never meet any of your friends, and if you do, they're there for the same reason and pretend not to see you.
Well, I certainly only went to see the pictures.
Oh, good heavens, if you want to do that, there's Christie's, and there you will meet your friends.
I'm afraid you'll never make a man of fashion out of me, Thornton.
I'm beginning to despair. You have a natural instinct for doing the wrong thing.
I remember when I'd been in London 2 or 3 years. I knew pretty well everyone who was worth knowing, but I'd never been asked to Hereford House. Well, I found out that the Duchess had a widowed sister who lived in the country with her 2 daughters, Lady Helen Blair. Oh, my dear. She was a very stuffy, very dowdy woman of 55. And her 2 daughters were stuffier and dowdier still, and if possible, older. They were in the habit of coming up to London for the season when I got introduced to them, and I laid myself out. I took them to the play. I showed them round the academy. I stood them luncheons. I gave them cards for private views. For a month, I worked like a Trojan. And then the Duchess sent out her invitations. The Blair girls had 6 for their young men. I received one, and by George, I had earned it. Of course, the moment I got my invitation, I dropped them. But do you know, I felt quite badly about it.
I expect they're used to that.
A strangely tactless woman, Lady Helen Blair. Do you know, she wrote and asked if I was offended about anything because I never went near them.
I wish those men would come. Then at least we could dance.
Oh, that would be charming. And it's such good exercise, isn't it? I'm told you dance divinely, Mr. Harvey.
Oh, I don't know about that. I dance.
My dear, who do you think I danced with the other night? Ernest.
Oh.
Oh, my dear, don't say oh like that. Don't you know who Ernest is?
Ernest is the most sought-after man in London.
Believe me, my dear, I would go to any dance where there was the remotest chance of meeting Ernest. He's a perfect dream to dance with. He taught me this new little step, which I can't get quite right. I don't know what I shall do if I don't run into him again very soon.
But why don't you let him give you a lesson?
For 10 guineas an hour? Oh, my dear, I couldn't possibly afford it. No, I'm bound to run into him at a dance in a day or two, and then I shall get a lesson for nothing.
You ought to make him fall in love with you.
My dear, if only he would, but he's so run after. At last!
We've been taking a stroll in the garden.
I hope you showed Lord Blean my new tea house.
He did.
It's Pearl's new toy. You must be sure to admire it.
Oh, yes, I'm very proud of it. Now, George won't let me do anything here. He said it's his house. He's not having any of my muck in it. Well, there was an old summer house out there. I wanted to pull it down and put up a smart new Japanese tea house, but George wouldn't hear of it because, if you please, his mother, a peculiarly plain woman, used to sit out there and sew. Well, I bided my time, and when George went up to town, I had the old summer house pulled down, got my smart Japanese tea house down from town, had the whole thing put up and finished within 24 hours before George got back. Oh, you should have seen his face. I thought he was going to have an apoplectic stroke. If he had, I should have killed 2 birds with 1 stone.
Pearl, I don't know why you furnished it so elaborately.
I thought I might sleep out there in the hot weather, rather like sleeping in the open air.
These young people want to start dancing, Pearl.
Well, where shall we dance? In here with the gramophone or in the drawing room with the pianola?
Oh, in the drawing room.
Well, then let us go.
Mr. Clay, come and help me get the rolls out.
Oh, right you are. Come on.
Aren't you coming, Princess?
No, I think I'll stay here for the present. But don't bother about me. You must go and dance.
Oh, there are enough men without me. I'm sure Thornton Clay is a host in himself.
You don't approve of poor Thornton.
What do you expect me to think of a man who's proud of having forced his way into a house where he knew he wasn't wanted? He reckons success by the number of invitations he receives. He holds himself up to me as an example. He tells me that if I want to get into society, I must work for it. I mean, what do they think of a man like Thornton Clay in England? Don't they despise him?
Everywhere, in New York, just as much as in London, there are masses of people struggling to get into society. It's so common a sight that one loses the sense of there being anything disgraceful in it. Pearl, would tell you that English society is a little pompous. They welcome a man who can make them laugh. Thornton is very useful. He has high spirits. He's amusing. He makes a party go.
I'm afraid you don't think me very charitable.
You're young. And I'm so glad you're not going to be dazzled by this English life that dazzles so many of our countrymen. Amuse yourself. Learn what you can from it. Take all the good it offers you and go back to America.
I shall be glad to go back. Perhaps I ought never to have come.
I'm afraid you're not very happy.
Oh, I don't know what makes you think that.
It's not very hard to see that you're in love with Bessie.
Did you know I was engaged to her?
No.
I was engaged to her before I went to Harvard. I was 18 then, and she was 16.
How very early in life you young people settle things in America.
Well, perhaps it was rather silly and childish, but when she wrote and told me that she thought we'd better break it off, I discovered I cared more than I thought.
What did you say to her?
I couldn't try to hold her to a promise she gave me. When she was a schoolgirl, I answered that I sympathized and understood.
When did this happen?
A couple of months ago. Then I got the chance to go over to Europe, and I thought I'd come over to see what was going on. Didn't take me long to tumble.
You're bearing it very well.
There's just something in these surroundings that makes me feel terribly uncomfortable. Under the brilliant surface, I suspect all kinds of ugly and shameful secrets that everyone knows and pretends not to. This is a strange house in which the husband is never seen. And Arthur Fenwick, a vulgar sensualist, acts as host. And this painted duchess devouring with her eyes a boy young enough to be her son. And the conversation. I mean, I don't want to seem a prude. I dare say people over here talk more freely than the people I've known. But surely there are women who don't have lovers. There are such things as honor and decency and self-restraint. If Bessie's going to remain over here, I wish to God she'd marry her lord at once and get out of it quickly.
Do you think she'll be happy?
Are any of them happy? How can they expect to be happy when they marry? I beg your pardon. I was forgetting. Please forgive me. You see, you're so different.
I'm sorry. I interrupted you. What were you going to say?
No, it's not of any importance. I've just been thinking it over so much, it's rather got on my nerves. I haven't been able to tell anybody what I was thinking about. I am dreadfully sorry.
You were going to say, how can they expect to be happy when they marry for a trumpery title? You thought, they're snobs, vulgar snobs, and the misery of their lives is the proper punishment for their ignoble desires.
Princess.
Princess.
Believe me, I haven't the smallest intention of saying anything to wound you.
I was only 20 when I married Marino. I didn't see him as a fortune-hunting dago, but as the successor of a long line of statesmen and warriors. There'd been a pope in his family and a dozen cardinals. When Marino came and asked me to marry him, it was romance that stood in his shoes and beckoned to me. I thought of the palace in Rome, which I'd visited as a tripper, and where I might reign as mistress. I thought it was splendid to take my place after all those great ladies. Orsinis, Colonnas, Gaetanis, Aldobrandinis. I loved him.
But there's no need.
My husband's family had been ruined by speculation. He was obliged to sell himself. He sold himself for $5 million.
$5 million?
Yes. And I loved him. You can imagine the rest. First, he was indifferent to me. Then I bored him. And at last, he hated me. Oh, the humiliation I endured. When my child died, I couldn't bear it any longer. I left him. I went back to America. I found myself a stranger. I was out of place. The life had become foreign to me. I couldn't live at home. I settled in England, and here we're strangers too. I've paid very heavily for being a romantic girl.
Really, Fleming, it's too bad of you to stay in here and flirt with a princess. We want you to come and dance.
Excuse me.
What's the matter?
Nothing.
Are you coming to dance or are you not?
I had quite a talk with Lord Bleen after dinner, Bessie.
Well?
He's a very nice fellow.
I know that.
I wanted to dislike him.
Why?
Well, I don't think much of these English lords who run after American girls for their money. I expected him to be a brainless loafer with just enough cunning to know his market value, but he's a modest, unassuming fellow. To tell you the truth, I'm puzzled.
Fancy that.
I think it's a low-down thing that he's doing. And yet he doesn't seem a low-down fellow.
He might be in love with me, you know.
Is he?
No.
Are you going to marry him?
I don't know.
I suppose he's come here to ask you.
He asked me a month ago. I promised to give him an answer when he came back from Romania. I'm in a panic. He's waiting to get me alone. I was able to be quite flippant about it when I had a month before me, but now when I've got to say yes or no, I'm so jumpy I don't know what to do with myself.
Don't marry him, Bessie.
Why not?
First of all, you're no more in love with him than he is with you.
And then?
Well, isn't that enough?
I wonder if you realize what he offers me. Do you know what the position of an English peeress is?
Does it mean so much to be called your ladyship by tradesmen?
You donkey, Fleming. If I marry an American boy, my life will be over. If I marry Harry Blaine, it will be only just beginning. Look at Pearl. I could do what she's done. I could do more because George Greyston isn't ambitious. I could make Harry do anything I liked. He would go into politics and I should have a salon.
Will you break your heart like the princess because your husband takes a mistress? Or will you bore yourself to death like Pearl because
Fleming, you've got no right to say things like that to me.
I'm sorry if I made you angry. I had to say it.
Are you sure that it's for my sake you don't want me to marry Lord Blaine?
Yes, I think it is. When you broke off our engagement, I didn't blame you. You wouldn't have done it if you'd cared for me, and it wasn't your fault if you didn't. When I came over here, I saw that I could expect nothing but friendship from you. You must do me the justice to acknowledge that during this month I haven't given the smallest sign that I wanted anything else.
Oh, you've been charming. You always were the best friend I've had.
If in a corner of my heart I kept my love for you, that is entirely my affair. I don't know that it puts you to any inconvenience, and it pleases me. Go back to America and fall in love with some nice fellow and marry him. You'll have all my best wishes. Perhaps your life won't be so brilliant or so exciting, but it will be simpler and more wholesome and more becoming.
You're a dear, Fleming. I shall always want you to be my dearest friend.
Bessie, I was looking for you everywhere.
Oh, Lord Blaine.
I wondered where you'd got to.
Well, I really must go and dance with the Duchess, or she'll never forgive me.
I've just been dancing with her. My dear fellow, it's the most violent form of exercise I've ever taken.
I'm in very good condition.
Blessings on him.
Why?
Because he's left us alone. Ask me another.
I don't think I will.
Then I'll ask you one.
Please don't. Tell me all about Romania.
Romania is a Balkan state. Its capital is Bucharest. It has long been known for its mineral springs.
You're in very high spirits tonight.
You may well wonder. Everything has conspired to depress them.
Oh, what nonsense.
I merely wish to point out to you that if notwithstanding I am in high spirits, I must have a most engaging nature.
The man's going to propose to me.
No, I'm not.
I beg your pardon. My mistake.
I did that a month ago.
Oh, there's been a change of moon since then, and no proposal holds good after the new moon.
Well, I never knew that.
You've been down to see your mother.
She sends you her love.
Have you told her?
I told her a month ago.
You know, I want to be frank with you. You won't think it disagreeable of me, will you? I'm not in love with you.
I know. But you don't positively dislike me.
No, I like you very much.
Won't you risk it then?
I can't make up my mind.
I'll do everything I can to make you happy. I'll try not to make a nuisance of myself.
I know quite well that I wouldn't marry you if you weren't who you are. And I'm afraid I know that you wouldn't marry me if I didn't have a certain amount of money.
Oh, yes, I would.
It's nice of you to say so.
Don't you believe it?
We're arranging a deal. You give your title and your position, and I give my money. It's a commonplace thing enough, but somehow it sticks in my throat.
You make me feel an awful swine. The worst of it is that some part of what you say is true. I'm not such a fool I didn't see your sister was throwing us together. I don't want to seem a conceited ass, but a fellow in my sort of position can't help knowing that many people think him rather a catch. Mothers of marriageable daughters can be very transparent sometimes, you know. And if they don't marry their daughters off, they're determined it shan't be for want of trying.
Oh, I couldn't quite believe that. I have noticed it in American mothers, too.
I knew it would be a good thing if I married you. I don't suppose I would have thought about you if I hadn't been told you were pretty well off. It's beastly now saying all that.
I don't see why.
Because after a bit, I found out I'd fallen in love with you. And then I didn't care if you hadn't got a bob. I wanted to marry you because I didn't know what to do without you.
Harry!
Do believe me, I swear it's true. I don't give a hang about the money. After all, we could get along without it. And I love you.
It's so good to hear you say that. I'm so absurdly pleased and flattered.
You do believe me, don't you?
Yes.
And will you marry me?
If you like.
And of course I like.
Oh, take care. Someone might come in.
Come with me into the garden.
You see, that was Harry Bleen and Bessie.
I wondered where they were.
You've got eyes like a lynx.
I'm positive they were hand in hand.
Well, it looks as if she'd worked it at last.
I don't know about that. It looks like he'd worked it.
She's not such a catch as all that. If I were a peer, I'd sell myself for a damn sight more than 8,000 a year.
Tony, don't stand so far away. Come and sit on the sofa by me.
I say, I've been talking to Bleen about two-seaters.
Oh?
He said I can't do better than get a Talbot.
I don't see why you want a car of your own. You can always use one of mine.
That's not the same thing. After all, it won't cost much. I can get a Ripper for just over £1,200 with a really smart body.
You talk as though £1,200 were nothing at all.
Hang it all, it isn't anything to you.
What with the income tax and one thing and another, I am not so terribly flush just now.
Well, I've practically committed myself now.
You only want a car so that you can be independent of me.
Well, hang it all, you can't expect me to be tied to your apron strings always. If you don't want to give me a car, why on earth did you say you would?
Oh, Tony.
For goodness sake, don't touch me.
Tony!
I don't want to force you to make me presents. I can quite well do without a two-seater. I can go about in omnibuses if it comes to that.
Don't you love me?
I wish you wouldn't constantly ask me if I love you. It is maddening.
Oh, how can you be so cruel to me?
Do you think this is quite the best place to choose to make a scene?
I can't help it if I love you. That's my temperament.
Yes, but you needn't show it so much. Why don't you leave me to do the lovemaking?
If I did that, there wouldn't be any lovemaking.
You make me look such a fool.
Oh, Tony, don't you know there isn't anything in the world I wouldn't do for you?
Well, why don't you marry me?
I can't do that. You know I can't do that.
Why not? You could still call yourself Duchesse de Surin.
No. I've always told you nothing will induce me to marry.
Well, that shows how much you love me.
Marriage is so middle class, Tony. It takes away all the romance of love.
You simply want to have your freedom and keep me bound hand and foot. I'm getting fed up with the whole business, I'll tell you that straight. I'd just as soon chuck it.
Tony, you don't mean to say that you want to leave me. I couldn't bear it. I'll kill myself if you do. I'll kill myself.
For
I couldn't
sake,
bear it.
Don't make such a row.
Please say you didn't mean it, Tony. I
After
shall
all,
scream.
I have my self-respect to think of. It seems to me the best thing would be if we put a stop to the whole thing now.
I can't lose you. I can't.
No one can say I'm mercenary, but hang it all, one has to think of one's future. I shan't be 25 forever. I ought to be settling down.
Don't you care for me anymore?
Of course I care for you. If I didn't, do you think I'd let you do all you have for me?
Then why do you make me so unhappy?
I don't mean to make you unhappy, but really, sometimes you are unreasonable.
You mean about the car?
I wasn't thinking about the car then.
Oh, you can have it if you like.
I don't want it now.
Oh, Tony, don't be so unkind.
I'm not going to take any more presents from you.
I didn't mean to be unreasonable, Tony. I'd like you to have the car. I'll give you a check for it tomorrow. Tell me what the body's like.
Oh, it's a torpedo body.
And you'll take me for drives in it sometimes.
I say, you are awfully kind to me.
You do like me a little, don't you?
Of course I do.
You have a good heart, Tony. Kiss me.
I saw an awfully jolly body in a shop in Trafalgar Square the day before yesterday. I've got half a mind to get the people who made your body to copy it.
What on earth were you doing in Trafalgar Square on Thursday? I thought you were going to Ranelagh.
Well, I was put off. I had nothing to do, so I just thought I'd slope round the National Gallery for half an hour.
Last place I should have expected you to go to?
I don't mind having a look at pictures now and then.
Did you look at the Bronzinos?
Yes. Arthur Fenwick bought one the other day at Christie's. Paid a devil of a price for it, too. Do you know, I do think it's rot, the prices people pay for old masters.
Oh, really?
I'm blowed if I paid £10,000 for a picture.
We'll go to the National Gallery together one of these days, shall we?
I don't know that I want to make a habit of it, you know.
I've got great news. Bessie and Harry Bleen are engaged.
Oh, I'm so glad, my dear. You must be so gratified.
Oh, yes, I'm delighted. Now, you must come and congratulate them.
Above all, we must congratulate one another. We've all worked for it, Pearl.
Poor Blighter didn't stand much chance, did he?
Now, we'll have one last dance, and then Arthur wants to play poker. Oh, you must come.
Oh, you dance this with me, Minnie?
I'd like to.
You haven't danced with me yet, Tony. You really should learn to pay more attention to your hostess.
I say, don't go.
Why not?
Because I want to talk to you.
If you want to whisper soft nothings in my ear, you'll find the one step exceedingly convenient.
You're a little beast, Pearl.
You've been having a long talk with Minnie.
Oh, she's been making a hell of a scene.
Poor thing, she can't help it. She adores you.
Well, I wish she didn't. And you did.
My dear, it's your only attraction for me. That she adores you.
You've got a piece of hair out of place, Pearl.
Have I? Oh, don't be a fool, Tony. Anyone might see us.
I don't care.
I do. Arthur's as jealous as a cat.
Arthur's playing the pianola.
There's nothing wrong with my hair.
Of course there isn't. You're perfectly divine tonight. I don't know what there is about you.
Oh, you foolish creature, Tony.
Let's go in the garden.
No. People will wonder where we are.
Hang it all. It's not so extraordinary to take a stroll instead of dancing.
I don't want to take a stroll. Yes? Oh, don't be a fool, Tony.
Let's go down to the tea house.
No, I won't.
We should be quite safe there.
I can't.
I'll go down there and wait for you.
But if they wonder where I am...
Well, you've gone up to your room.
I won't come.
I'll wait for you.
I'm not going to go on pounding away that wretched pianola unless you come and dance, Pearl.
I don't want to dance. I'm too tired. Well, let's play poker now, shall we?
Well, I'll get tired, darling.
Oh, I'm never too tired for that.
You don't know how I adore you. It's a privilege to be allowed to love you.
Oh, if you say things like that to me, you'll make me vain.
You do love me a little, don't you? I need your love so badly.
Why, I dote on you, you silly old thing.
Where are you going?
I'm going to my room to arrange my face.
God, how I love you. There's nothing in the world I wouldn't do for you.
Really?
Nothing.
Well, then, ring for Paul and have him bring the table and set out the counters.
Thornton, we're going to play some poker. Get the others to come along, will you?
Righto.
Ah, Paul, get the card table ready.
Very good, sir.
And we'll need the counters. Get out those mother-of-pearl ones I brought down last time I was here.
Very good, sir.
Ah, Princess. Pearl's gone up to her room. She'll be down in a minute.
This looks like more dissipation.
Well, we're going to have a game of poker. I don't think we should play for too long. Pearl's looking terribly tired.
I don't wonder. She's so energetic.
Oh, she's the most open-handed, the most generous woman I've ever known.
Who is this?
We were speaking of our hostess.
I see.
I have no hesitation in saying that Pearl is one of the most remarkable women in England. She's got half the cabinet in her pocket. She's very powerful.
I've often thought that if she'd been alive in the reign of Charles II, she'd have been a duchess in her own right.
Maybe. She would adorn any sphere. She's got everything. Brains, tact, energy, beauty.
Virtue.
We're all dying to play poker. Well, the table's all ready.
Where is Pearl?
She's gone to her room. She'll be down in a moment.
You're going to play, Princess?
No, I don't think so. I'll look on. I'm going to bed in a minute.
Oh, you must play.
Leave a place for Pearl.
You must leave one for Tony, too.
What's he doing?
He'll be here presently.
Now, shall I give out the counters? A shilling, Auntie. Will that suit you?
Very well.
Thornton, the whites are a shilling, the reds two, and the blues five bob. Mr. Harvey, sort some out, will you?
Sure.
Oh, how stupid of me. I haven't got my bag.
Never mind. We'll trust you.
No, I'd rather pay at once. It saves so much bother. Besides, I hate not having my bag.
One always wants to powder one's nose if one hasn't got it.
Bessie, dear, I left it in Pearl's new tea house. Run and fetch it for me, would you?
Certainly.
No, I'll go.
You don't know the way. I can go through the bushes. It's only...
Yeah, how came you to leave it in a tea house?
I'm so careless, I'm always leaving my bag about.
Here's another £5.
What beautiful counters they are.
I'm glad you like them. I gave them to Pearl. They've got her initials on them. Mm-hmm. Let's have a hand before Pearl comes. Ante up, Princess.
Oh, I beg your pardon.
Two
shillings to come in.
I'm coming in.
I always come in.
Well, I oughtn't to, but I shall all the same. You're going to make good your ante, Duchess?
I may as well, mayn't I?
That's how I made a fortune, throwing good money after bad. Do you want a car, Princess?
I'll have three.
Ooh, Princess, I got a pair of deuces.
I'll have one.
One never gets that straight, Harvey. I'll take five.
Now, that's what I call a real sport.
Oh, nonsense. It just means he can't play.
It would be rather a sell for you if I had a flush.
Yes, it would, but you haven't.
You're quite right. I haven't.
Don't you want any cards, Duchess?
No, I'm out of it.
I'll have three.
I thought you were in luck.
Wait a minute. You'll be surprised.
What have I got to put in? 10 shillings.
Ah, here's Bessie.
What have you got?
Did you find my bag?
No, it wasn't there.
But I distinctly remember leaving it there. I'll go and look for it myself. Mr. Fenwick, would you come with me?
No, don't. You can't go into the tea house.
Bessie, is anything the matter?
The door of the tea house is locked.
It can't be. I saw Pearl and Tony going in there just now. Minnie, you devil. What have you been doing? Don't ask what I've been doing.
Well, you must be mistaken. Pearl went up to her room.
Go and look for her.
No, Mr. Fenwick.
I saw her.
Bessie? What?
Well, we'd better go on with our game, hadn't we?
That was your money, Mr. Fenwick.
Thank you.
The slut. The slut.
You'd better deal, Fleming. The princess won't play, I expect.
Deal me cards. I want to play.
Blean, come on. We're going on with the game. Take Bessie's chips.
Oh, have you started already?
Where have you been?
I? My head was aching. I went for a turn in the garden. I found Tony composing a sonnet to the moon.
You said you were going to your room.
What are you talking about? Once too often, my dear. Once too often. You damn fool, Tony. I told you it was too risky. Is it good for you to smoke so many cigarettes?
I shouldn't think so.
If only we had the Sunday papers, that would be something.
You can hardly expect them in a place like this. I don't suppose there are many trains on Sunday.
I wonder if dinner is going to be as cheerful as luncheon was.
Did Pearl send any reason for not appearing at luncheon?
I haven't an idea.
I asked the butler where she was. He said she was lunching in bed. I wish I'd thought of that.
I'm afraid we were rather silent.
Silent? I shall never forget that luncheon. Minnie subdued and silent. Tony sulky and silent. Bessie frightened and silent. Blean embarrassed and silent. Fenwick furious and silent. I try to be pleasant and chatty. It was like engaging the pyramids in small talk. Both of you behaved very badly. You might have offered me a little encouragement.
I was afraid of saying the wrong thing. The Duchess and Bessie looked as if they'd burst into tears on the smallest provocation.
I was thinking of Pearl. What a humiliation. What a horrible humiliation.
I have an idea she won't appear again till we're all gone.
Poor thing, she must be a wreck.
It was a terrible scene.
I shall never forget it. The things that Minnie said. I couldn't have believed such language could issue from a woman's throat. Oh.
Does she have attacks like that often?
I know she did when the young man before Tony married an heiress. I believe she has one whenever there's a crisis in the affairs of her heart.
For goodness sake, Thornton, don't talk about it as if it were a joke.
What's the matter, Fleming?
I think it's abominable to treat the whole thing so flippantly.
Well, I was very sympathetic. I wasn't flippant. Who got the sal volatile? I got the sal volatile.
I dare say my nerves are a bit on edge. It's come as a... Well, as a shock to discover exactly what the relations are between all these people. And what I can't quite get over is that I'm the only member of the party who doesn't take it as a matter of course.
It's not entirely their fault. It's the life they lead. They've got too much money and too few responsibilities. English women in our station have, Duties that are part of their birthright, but we, strangers in a strange land, have nothing to do but enjoy ourselves.
Well, I thank God Bleen is a decent man. He'll take Bessie out of all this.
You've been changing your frock, Minnie.
Yes. I'm leaving this house this afternoon. I'd have gone this morning if there'd been any possibility of getting away. I sent down to the garage and said I had to be taken to London at once. Would you believe it? I couldn't get a car.
Why not?
One of them had been sent up to town and the other is being overhauled. There is nothing but a luggage cart. I couldn't go to London in a luggage cart. As it is, I'm going to have to go to the station in it. I shall look ridiculous.
Have you ordered it?
Yes. It's to be round at the door in a few minutes.
But what on earth can Pearl have sent the car up to London for?
To show her spite.
That's not like her.
I have only one thing to be grateful for, and that is that she has had the decency to keep to her room. I will be just. It shows she has at least a sense of shame.
Do you mind if I have a word or two with Minnie?
Why, of course. Come along, Fleming.
Minnie.
No, my dear, if you are going to ask me to turn the other cheek, don't. Because I am not going to. I'm going to do everything I can to revenge myself on that woman. I'm going to expose her. I'm going to tell the whole world how she treated me when I was her guest.
You must take care what you say, Minnie, for your own sake.
I know enough about her to make her position in London impossible. I am going to ruin her.
What about Tony?
Oh, I finished with him. I'm not the sort of woman who will stand for that sort of treatment.
Don't you care for him anymore?
He revolts me.
Well, I'm very glad. It distressed me to see you on those terms with a boy like that. You're well rid of him.
Oh, my dear, you needn't tell me. He hasn't even made an attempt to excuse himself. He hasn't even tried to see me.
After all, he never really cared for you. Anyone could see that.
Don't say that, Flora. I couldn't bear it. He loved me. Before that woman came between us, I know he loved me. He couldn't help loving me. I did everything in the world for him.
Minnie, my dear, don't give way. Take care. Here he is.
Oh, I beg your pardon. I didn't know anyone was here. I was looking for some cigarettes.
I think I'll join the others.
Haven't you got anything to say for yourself at all?
What's the good of talking?
Well, you might at least say sorry for the pain you've caused me. If you had any affection for me, you wouldn't have done everything you could to avoid me.
I knew you'd only make a scene.
Oh, good heavens, surely you didn't expect me not to make a scene.
The whole thing's very unfortunate.
Unfortunate? You break my heart and then you say it's unfortunate.
I didn't mean that. I meant it was unfortunate that you caught us out.
You are heartless. Heartless. If you had any decent feeling, you couldn't have eaten the lunch that you did. But you munched away, munched until I could have killed
you.
Well,
I was hungry.
You oughtn't to have been hungry.
What are you going to do about it?
About your appetite? Hope to God your next mouthful chokes you.
When do you want me to move out of my flat?
What's that got to do with me?
You know very well I can't pay the rent.
That's your lookout.
I shall go to the colonies.
Oh, yes, that's the very best thing you can do. I hope they make you dig and break stones and paint with lead paint. I hope you're miserable.
Oh, well, it'll have its compensations.
Such as?
I shall be my own master. I was about fed up with this, I can tell you.
Oh, yes, you can say that now.
Do you think it was all jam, never being able to call my soul my own? I was sick to death of it.
You can't.
Well, you may just as well know the truth.
Are you in love with that woman?
No.
Then why did you, Tony? How could you?
If one felt about things at night as one does the next morning, life would be a dashed sight easier.
Tony, if I said to you, let's let bygones be bygones and start afresh, what would you say?
We've made a break now. We'd better leave it at that. I shall go to the colonies.
Tony, if you want to marry me, I'm willing to marry you.
I should be just as dependent on you. Do you think it would be jolly for me having to come to you for every £5 I wanted?
I shall settle something on you so that you shall be independent. £1,000 a year. Will that do?
You are a good sort, Minnie.
You will be kind to me, won't you?
Rather, and look here, you needn't give me that two-seater. I shall be able to drive the Rolls Royce.
You didn't really want to go to the colonies, did you?
Not much.
Oh, Tony, I do love you so.
That's right.
Ring the bell. We shan't stay in this house a moment longer. And you shall come in the luggage cart with me.
Oh, I much prefer that to walking.
I think it's monstrous there isn't a car to take us to the station. This is the most uncomfortable house to stay in.
Oh, beastly. Do you know there wasn't a bathroom attached to my bedroom?
Oh, mon pauvre chérie. Ah, Paul, is the luggage cart ready?
I'll make inquiries, Your Grace.
My maid will follow in the morning with my luggage. Mr. Paxton will come with me. What about your things, darling?
They'll be all right. I brought my man with me.
Her ladyship is just coming downstairs, Your Grace.
Oh, is she? Well, thank you, Paul. That'll do.
Very good, Your Grace.
Tony, I will not see her. See if Thornton is on the terrace, will you?
All right.
Clay, come here a minute, will you?
Ah, Thornton. I'm told Pearl is coming downstairs.
Ah, at last.
I will not see her. Nothing will induce me to see her.
My dear, what is to be done? We can't make her remain upstairs in her own house.
No, but Thornton can speak to her. I ask only one thing, that she should remain out of the way until I am gone.
I'll do my best.
I shall walk up and down on the terrace until the luggage cart is ready. I haven't taken my exercise yet today.
Oh, here's Bessie. It appears that Pearl is just coming downstairs.
Is she?
Have you seen her this morning, Bessie?
No. She sent her maid to ask me to go to her, but I had a headache and couldn't.
I'm thinking of going back to America next Saturday, Bessie.
Dear Fleming, I shall be sorry to lose you.
Well, I expect you'll be too busy to think about me. You'll have all kinds of people to see, and there's your trousseau to get.
Princess, I wish you would come over to Paris with me and help me with it.
I? Well, of course. If I could be of any help to you, dear child, perhaps it's a very good idea. We must talk about it.
Good morning.
Good afternoon.
Oh, I might have known everyone would abuse me for coming down so late, but it was such a lovely day, I thought it was a pity to get up.
Don't be paradoxical, Pearl. It's too hot.
The sun streamed in my room, and I thought it a sin not to get up on a day like this. And the more I thought I ought to get up, the more delightful I found it to stay in bed. How was your head, Bessie?
Oh, it's better, thank you.
I was sorry to hear you weren't feeling up to the mark.
I didn't sleep very well.
What have you done with your young man?
Harry. He's writing letters.
Spreading the glad tidings. You ought to write to his mother, Bessie. Oh, and we must think of sending an announcement to the Morning Post.
Oh, you think of everything, Pearl.
I take my duties as Bessie's chaperone very seriously. Why, I already have a brilliant idea for the gown I'm going to wear at the wedding.
Gee.
Oh, my dear Fleming, don't say gee. It's so American. Say, by Jove.
I couldn't without laughing.
Laughing? Why can't you say laughing?
I don't want to.
Oh, how obstinate you are. Well, now that Bessie is going to marry an Englishman, she'll have to take lessons. I know an excellent woman. She makes you read out loud and recite long lists of words 20 times a day. Half instead of half, and bath instead of bath, and can't instead of can't.
By Jove instead of gee.
Appearances don't say by Jove, Fleming. She teaches them to say good heavens instead of mercy.
Does she make money by it?
Parts. But she's a lovely woman. Do you know, Eric Gloucester had an accent so thick you could have cut it with a knife when she first came over. And after 3 months...
Fleming, do you think it's too hot for a turn in the garden?
Why, no.
Shall we go, then?
Whatever's the matter with Bessie? One would think she'd swallowed a poker last night. No wonder she couldn't sleep. That would be enough to give anyone indigestion.
You know that Minnie is going this afternoon, Pearl?
Yes, so I heard. What a bore it is. There are no cars to take her to the station. She'll have to go in the luggage cart.
She doesn't wish to see you.
But I wish to see her.
I dare say.
No, I must see her.
She asked me to tell you that she only wished you to do one thing, and that is to stay out of the way until she's gone.
Then you can go and tell her that unless she comes to see me, she shan't have the luggage cart.
Pearl!
That is my ultimatum.
But can you see me taking a message like that to the Duchess?
It's 4 long miles to the station. There's not a scrap of shade all the way.
After all, it's not a very unreasonable request she's making.
If she wants the luggage cart, she must come and say goodbye to me like a lady.
What am I to do? We used up all the salvolatile last night.
I'll tell her if you like. Do you really insist on seeing her, Pearl?
Yes, it's very important. Oh, poor Flora looks shocked. She shouldn't know such people.
Really? Pearl, your behavior is monstrous.
Oh, never mind my behavior. Now tell me how luncheon went off.
Oh, my dear, it was like a gathering of relations who hate one another after the funeral of a rich aunt who's left all her money to charity.
You must have been priceless. Oh, I would have given anything to be there.
Well, why weren't you?
Oh, I knew there'd be scenes, and I'm never at my best in a scene before luncheon. One thing I've learned from this war, a general should always choose his own time for battle.
Well, Minnie moved heaven and earth to get away this morning.
I knew she couldn't go. I knew no one could until this afternoon. As soon as I awoke, I took the necessary steps.
You slept?
Oh, yes. I slept beautifully. Nothing like a little excitement to give me a really good night.
Well, you certainly had some excitement. I've rarely witnessed such a terrific scene.
Yes, I sent out to the garage and told them to have the old Rolls-Royce taken down at once and sent the other off to London.
Yes, what for?
Never mind. You'll find out presently. And then I did a little telephoning.
Why were you so anxious to prevent anyone from leaving this house?
Oh, I couldn't persuade myself my party had been a success if half my guests had left me Sunday morning. And I thought they might change their minds by the afternoon.
If that's your only reason, I don't think it's a very good one.
It isn't. I will be frank with you, Thornton.
Ah.
I can imagine a very amusing little story might be made out of this episode. I never mind scandal, but I don't expose myself to ridicule if I can help it.
My dear Pearl, surely you can trust the discretion of your guests. Why, who do you think would give it away?
You.
I? My dear Pearl, I give you my word of honor.
My dear Thornton, I don't give tuppence for your word of honor. You're a professional entertainer. You will sacrifice everything for a good story.
You really might have left Tony alone. This habit you have of snitching has got you into trouble before.
People are so selfish. It just happens I find no man more desirable than one that a friend of mine is in love with. I make allowances for the idiosyncrasies of my friends. Why can't they make allowances for mine? Ah, Minnie.
I have just been told that the only way I can leave this house is by submitting to the odious necessity of seeing you.
I really wish you wouldn't go, Minnie. Lord Surrey's coming over for dinner, and so are the Arlingtons. You know, I always take a great deal of trouble to get the right people together, and I hate it when anyone fails me at the last minute.
Do you think anything would have persuaded me to stay this long if there'd been any possibility of getting away earlier?
It wouldn't have been nice to go without saying goodbye to me, Minnie.
Don't talk nonsense, Pearl.
Do you know, you behaved very badly last night. I ought to be extremely angry with you.
I? The woman's as mad as a hatter, Thornton.
You oughtn't have made such a scene before Harry Breen, and you know, telling Arthur was not playing the game.
I will never forgive you. Never. Never. Jamais. You'd got Arthur Fenwick. Why weren't you satisfied with him? And if you had to have an affair, why didn't you take Thornton? He's about the only one of your friends with whom you haven't. The omission is becoming almost marked.
Thornton never makes love to me unless other people are looking. He can be quite passionate in the front seat of my box at the opera.
This conversation is growing excessively personal. I shall leave you.
I'm sorry I had to insist on your seeing me, Minnie, but I have something very important to say to you.
Before you go any further, Pearl, I think it only fair for me to tell you that I am going to marry Tony.
Oh, my dear, no. No, not just to spite me. Oh, I am not interested in him in the slightest, honestly. Oh, my dear, do think carefully.
It's the only way I can keep him.
Do you think you'll be happy?
Why should you care if I'm happy?
Well, of course I care. Oh, my dear, is this wise? You'll be giving yourself into his hands. My dear, how can you risk it?
He said he was going out to the colonies. I love him.
Oh,
I believe you really are distressed. What a strange woman you are, Pearl.
And I've been moving heaven and earth to try and find him a job. I've been on the telephone this morning to every cabinet minister I know, and at last, I've done it. That's what I wanted to tell you. Oh, I thought you'd be so pleased as it is now. I suppose you won't even want it.
Oh, I'm sure he will. He's very proud, you know. That's one of the reasons why I loved him. He had to be dependent on me. That's why he wanted me to marry him.
Well, of course, you'll keep your title.
Oh, yes, I shall do that.
Well, my darling, you have my very, very best wishes.
I will not forgive you, Pearl.
But you've forgiven Turney.
I don't blame him. He was led away.
Oh, Minnie, don't be spiteful. You might let bygones be bygones.
Nothing will persuade me to stay in this house another night.
It's a very slow train, and you'll miss your tea.
I don't care.
You won't arrive in London till 8:30. You'll have to dine in a restaurant.
I don't care.
You'll be grubby and hot. Tony will be hungry and out of temper. And you'll look your age.
You promised me the luggage car.
And you shall have it. But you'll have to sit on the floor because it hasn't got any seats.
Pearl, it's not going to break down on the way to the station.
Oh, no. How could you suspect me of playing such a trick on you? Never occurred to me.
Pearl, I thought you'd like to know that Fennec is coming to say goodbye to you.
I shall go and tell Tony about this job you've got for him. By the way, what is it?
Something in the education office.
Oh, how very nice. Mm. What do they do there?
Nothing, but it will keep him busy from 10 till 4. Mm. She's going to marry him.
I know. Oh,
I'm a wonderful matchmaker. First Bessie and Harry Blean, now Minnie and Tony Paxton. I shall have to find someone for you, Thornton.
How on earth did you manage to appease her?
I reasoned with her. After all, she should be grateful the boy has sown his wild oats before the marriage. And besides, if he were her husband, of course she wouldn't expect fidelity from him. It seems unnatural to expect it when he isn't.
And yet she's going all the same.
I have a quarter of an hour yet.
Do you think you can bring Arthur around?
I know I could if he loved me.
My dear, he dotes on you.
Oh, no, don't be a fool, Thornton. He loves his love for me. That's quite a different thing. No, I've got only one chance. He thinks of himself as a man of iron. I shall have to play the dear little thing racket.
You're a most unscrupulous woman, Pearl.
Oh, not more than most. Oh, please go. I think I should be alone when Arthur finds me.
Oh,
you startled me. I didn't hear you come in, Arthur.
I dare say you're surprised to see me. I thought it necessary that we should have a short conversation before I left this house.
It's good to see you once more.
You understand that everything is over between us?
If you've made up your mind, there's nothing for me to say. I know nothing can move you once you've done that.
I don't want to part from you in anger, Pearl. Last night, I could have thrashed you within an inch of your life.
Well, why didn't you? Do you think I would have minded from the man I love?
Oh, you know I could never hit a woman.
Oh, I thought of you through all the long hours of the night, Arthur.
I never slept a wink. I'll come quickly to what I have to say and then go. It's merely this. Of course, I shall continue the allowance I've always made you.
I couldn't take it. No, I couldn't take it.
Oh, be sensible, Pearl. This is a matter of business.
It's a question I refuse to discuss. Surely you must realize that nothing would have induced me to accept your help if I hadn't loved you. Now that there can be nothing more between us. Oh, no. The very thought outrages me.
I was afraid you'd take up this attitude. You've only 8,000 a year of your own. You can't live on that.
I can starve.
I must insist, Pearl, for my own sake. You've adopted a style of living that you never could have done if you hadn't had me at the back of you. I am morally responsible. I must meet my obligation.
We can only be friends in the future, Arthur.
Oh, I haven't often asked you to do something for me, Pearl.
Of course, I shall return your presents to you. Here, take this pearl necklace at once.
Oh, you wouldn't do that.
I can't undo the clasp. Help me, Arthur.
No, I won't. I won't.
I'll tear it off my neck.
Pearl, you break my heart. Do you care for me so little that you can't bear to wear the trifling presents I gave you?
Oh, if you speak to me like that, I shall cry. Can't you see I am trying to keep my self-control?
But this fellow, does he care for you? Will he make you happy?
For Tony? Oh, he's going to marry the Duchess. I shall never see him again.
Well, then, if I leave you, you'll have nobody but your husband.
Nobody.
You'll be terribly lonely, girlie.
You will think of me once in a while, won't you, Arthur?
Oh, I shall never forget you. I shall never forget how you left your fine house in Mayfair and came and had lunch with me in the city.
Oh, you used to give me such delicious things to eat.
Oh, it was a treat to see you in your beautiful clothes, sharing a steak and a bottle of beer with me. There are very few women who enjoy food as much as you do.
You know, I'd made up my mind the next time you came to dine, I was going to give you an entirely English dinner.
Oh?
Scotch broth, herrings, mixed grill, saddle of lamb, and then enormous marrow bones.
Oh, girlie, let's have that lunch. I can't leave you. You need me too much.
Arthur, can you forgive me?
To err is human, to forgive divine.
How like you that is.
And if you must deceive me, don't let me ever find out. I love you too much.
I won't. I promise you, I won't.
Oh,
Bessie, are you going out?
As soon as Harry has finished his letters, we're going for a walk.
Oh, now, Arthur, you mustn't squeeze my hand in front of Bessie.
You're a very lucky girl, Bessie, to have a sister like Pearl. She's the most wonderful woman in the world.
Oh, now, don't talk nonsense. Oh, go change into some flannels. You're making me quite hot just looking at you in that suit. After tea, we'll try and get up a little tennis.
Oh, you mustn't tire yourself. Remember those white cheeks of yours.
I'm sure I shall soon have my color back now. Oh. Oh, men are such trivial, foolish creatures. They have kind hearts, but their heads, oh, my dear, it's lamentable. And they're so vain, poor darlings, they're so vain.
Pearl, tomorrow when we go back to London, I'm going away.
Are you where?
The princess is going to take me over to Paris for a few days.
Oh, well, is that all? Well, don't stay away long. You ought to be in London just at present.
On my return, I'm proposing to stay with the princess.
Nonsense.
I wasn't asking your permission, Pearl. I was telling you my plans.
Oh, are you going to make me a scene, too? I've already had two this afternoon. I'm rather tired of them.
Please don't be alarmed. I've got nothing more to say.
Don't be a fool, Bessie. What would people think if you were to suddenly leave my house? We don't want to go out of our way to make people gossip.
Please don't argue with me, Pearl. It's not my business to reproach you for anything you do. But it isn't my business either to stand by and watch.
You're no longer a child, Bessie.
I've been blind and foolish. Oh, Pearl, don't make me say what I have in my heart, but let me go quietly.
Please, Bessie, you must be reasonable. Well, what would people think if you were to suddenly leave my house and go live with Flora? They'd ask all sorts of questions, and heaven knows the explanations they'd invent. People aren't charitable, you know. Now, I don't want to be hard on you, but I'm afraid I can't afford to let you do a thing like that.
Now that I know what I do, I should never respect myself again if I stayed.
Oh, I don't know how you can be so unkind.
I don't want to be that, Pearl. I've made up my mind, and there's an end to it.
Flora is a fool. I will tell her she is not to take you away from me. You will stay with me until you are married.
Do you want me to tell you that I can hardly bear to speak to you?
Oh.
You fill me with shame and disgust. I want never to see you again.
Oh, well, you drive me beyond endurance. I think I must be the most patient woman in the world to put up with all I put up with today. After all, what have I done? Oh, I was a little silly and incautious. Besides, it hasn't got anything to do with you. Why don't you mind your own business?
You talk as though your relations with Arthur Fenwick were perfectly natural.
Oh, good heavens! You're not going to pretend you didn't know about Arthur, are you? After all, I'm no worse than anyone else. One of the reasons we Americans like London is we can live the lives we choose here and people accept things philosophically. Ellie Gloucester, Sadie Twickenham, Mamie Hartwell. You don't imagine they're faithful to their husbands, do you? They didn't marry them for that.
Oh, Pearl, how can you? How can you? Haven't you any sense of decency at all? When I came in just now and saw you kissing that gross, vulgar, sensual old man, oh, you can't love him. I could have understood it, but oh, it's so disgraceful. It's so hideous. What can you see in him? He's nothing but rich. It's not because he's rich. Pearl.
Oh, you're a silly little girl, Bessie. I'm tired of talking to you.
Pearl, it's not that. Answer me.
answer me.
Mind your own business.
He was right then. Last night when he called you that. He was so right that you didn't even notice it.
What?
A few hours later, you're hand in hand with him. A slut. That's what he called you. A slut.
Hold your tongue.
A slut!
How dare you! Hold your tongue!
A kept woman, that's what you are!
Oh, I am a fool to lose my temper with
you. Why, shit, you ain't saying nothing but the truth!
Oh, you are a silly little person, Betty. If Arthur wants to help me out now and again, that's his affair and mine. He has more money than he knows what to do with. It amuses him to watch me spend it. I could have $20,000 a year from him if I chose.
Haven't you got money of your own?
But you know exactly what I've got. $8,000 a year. Well, you don't think I've got the position I have on that, do you? You're not under the impression the whole world comes to my house because of my charm, are you? I'm not. Do you think the English want us here? They come to me because I amuse them. Very early in my career, I discovered the English can never resist getting something for nothing. If a dancer's all the rage, they'll see her in my house. If a fiddler is in vogue, they'll hear him at my concert. I give them balls. I give them dinners. I have made myself the fashion. I have power. I have influence. Oh, but everything I have, my success, my reputation, my notoriety, I've bought it. Bought it. Bought it.
How humiliating.
And finally, I've bought you a husband.
That's not true. He loves me.
Oh, do you think he would have loved you if I hadn't shown you to him in these surroundings? If he hadn't been dazzled by the brilliant people amongst whom he found you? Well, you don't know what love is made of. You think it nothing that he hear a prime minister pay you compliments? Of course I bought him.
It's horrible.
You know the truth now. It will be very useful to you in your married life. Now, run along and have your little walk with Harry Breen. I must go and arrange my face.
I'm afraid I've kept you waiting. I'm so sorry.
It doesn't matter at all.
Where shall we go? You know the way about these parts and I don't.
Harry, I want you to release me. I can't marry you.
Why?
I want to go back to America. I'm frightened.
Of me?
Oh, no. I know that you're a dear, good creature. I'm frightened of what I may become.
But I love you, Bessie.
And that's all the more reason for me to go. I'm not in love with you. I would never have dreamt of marrying you if you hadn't been who you are. I wanted to have a title. That's why Pearl married her husband, and that's why the Duchess married. Let me go, Harry.
I knew you didn't love me, but I thought you might come to in time. I thought if I tried, I could make you love me.
You didn't know that I was nothing but a self-seeking, heartless snob.
I don't care what you say of yourself. I know that you can be nothing but what is true and charming.
After what you've seen last night, after what you know of this house, aren't you disgusted with all of us?
You can't think that I could class you with a duchess and...
Pearl, at my age, was no different from what I am. It's the life.
But perhaps you won't want to lead it.
You think I can make myself at home with your family, in your life? I've had a hint of it now and then. It's a life of dignity, of responsibilities, and of public duty.
You make it sound very strenuous.
It comes naturally to the English girls of your class. They've known it all their lives, and they've been brought up to lead it. But we haven't. To us, it's just tedious, and its dignity is irksome. We're bored, and we fall back on the only thing that offers pleasure. There is nothing for us to do but amuse ourselves, and we fall to pieces. Your house means everything to you because it's associated with your childhood and all your people before you. It could only mean something to me if I loved you. And I don't.
I don't know what to say to you. Don't you think you could wait a little before you decide finally?
I want to go home, Harry. If I marry ever, I want to marry in my own country. That is my place. Let me go back, Harry.
If you don't want to marry me, of course I'm not going to try and make you...
Don't be angry. And be my friend.
Always?
Always.
After all, 3 months ago you didn't know me. In 3 months more, you will have forgotten me. Then marry some English girl who can live your life and share your thoughts. And be happy.
The car's just come back from London. Minnie!
I shall tell Pearl tomorrow.
Minnie!
Well, I shan't post my letters then. I'll go and get them out of the box.
Forgive me.
Did you call me?
Oh, yes. Yes, the car's just come back from London. We can take you to the station.
Oh, that is a mercy. I didn't at all like the idea of going to the station in the luggage cart.
But what on earth did you send the car to London for anyway?
In a minute, you'll see.
Who is that gentleman that's just arrived, Pearl?
A man of mystery.
Mr. Ernest.
Ernest?
Ernest.
Ernest.
Dear Lady Greystone.
Oh, I'm so glad you could come. We were talking about you just last night, and we thought we'd have nothing to do this evening, and you would cheer and comfort us. I sent the car up to London with orders to bring him back, dead or alive.
Dear Lady Greystone, I'm sure I shall get into no end of trouble. I had all sorts of calls to pay this afternoon, and I was dining out. And I promised to look in on that little hop that the dear Duchess of Gloucester is giving, but I felt I couldn't refuse you. You've always been such a good friend to me, dear Lady Greystone. You must excuse me coming in my town clothes, but your chauffeur said there wasn't a moment to lose, so I came just as I am.
You look a perfect picture.
Oh, don't say that, Lady Greystone. I know this isn't the sort of thing one ought to wear in the country.
You remember the Duchesse de Souveraine?
Of course I remember the Duchesse.
Dear Ernest.
Dear Duchesse.
I didn't think I was ever going to see you again.
Oh, don't say that. It's too sad.
It's such a pity you have to go, Minnie. Otherwise, I'm sure Ernest could show you all sorts of new steps.
Oh, dear Duchesse, you're not going the very moment I arrive. Oh, that is unkind of you.
I must go. I must go.
Have you been practicing that little step I showed you the other day? My dear friend, the Marchioness of Twickenham. Not the old one, you know, the new one. She's beginning to do it so well.
Pearl, dear, have we time? I should so like Ernest to do just one two-step with me.
Of course there's time. Thornton, set the gramophone.
Why, of course.
You don't mind, do you, Ernest?
Dear Duchess, I love dancing with you.
Just a minute, Ernest. It always makes me so nervous to dance with you.
Oh, Duchess, don't be silly. Now hold your shoulders like a lady. Arch your back, dear, arch your back. Don't look like a sack of potatoes. If you put your foot there, I shall kick it.
Oh, Ernest, don't be cross with me. Oh,
I will be cross with you, Duchess. You don't pay any attention to what I say. You must give your mind to it.
I do. I do.
And don't dance like an old fishwife. Put some vim into it. That's what I always say about these modern dances. You want two things. Vim and nous.
Oh, Ernest.
Now, don't cry. I'm saying all this for your own good, you know.
This is the step, Pearl.
What's wrong with you is you've got no passion.
Oh, Ernest, how can you say such a thing? I've always thought of myself as a very passionate woman.
Oh, well, I don't know anything about that, dear Duchess, but you don't get it into your dancing. It's what I was saying the other day to the Marchioness of Twickenham. Not the new one, you know, the old one. You must put passion into it, I said. That's what these modern dances want. Passion. Passion.
I see exactly what you mean, Ernest.
Yes, and you must dance with your eyes as well, you know. You must look at me as if you had a knife in your garter, as if you'd kill me if I looked at another woman. Don't you see how I'm looking? I'm looking as though I meant to curse her. How I love her. There.
Oh! Bravo, Minnie. Oh. Well, I have improved a little, haven't I, Ernest?
Oh, yes, you have improved, Duchess, but you want more practice.
Oh, Minnie, why don't you stay? And then Ernest could give you a real lesson this evening.
That's what you want, Duchess.
Tony, do you think we could stop?
Well, I didn't want to go away.
Oh.
It's rotten going up to town this evening, and what on earth are we going to do with ourselves when we get there?
Very well, Pearl. If it'll please you, we'll stop.
Oh, that's very nice of you, Minnie.
You can be very naughty sometimes, Pearl. But you have a good heart. And I can't help being fond of you.
Minnie.
Oh, Pearl.
Oh.
Oh, what an exquisite spectacle. Two ladies have died of kissing one another.
Pearl, I'm sailing for America next Saturday. Fleming, take me home.
In Our Betters by W. Somerset Maugham, Kathleen Turner played Pearl, Lady Greyston, with Rula Lenska as the Duchess, Barbara Jefford as the Principessa, and Nigel Davenport as Arthur Fenwick. Sherry Graubert played Bessie, Charles Edwards, Fleming, and William Hootkins, Thornton. Tony was played by Stephen Billington, and Lord Bleen by Nicholas Caunter, with Stanley Page as Poe and Paul Stewart as Ernest. Our Betters was adapted from the Chichester Festival Theatre production, directed by Michael Rudman, and redirected for radio by Janet Whittaker.